But I do want to bring us back, way back, to before this moment in Jerusalem. I want to bring us back to Genesis, to the beginning of the journey of followers of Jesus Christ, to the beginning of the creation of humankind, about God's love for us and how God formed us in his image and we began to multiply and create the world that we have today. And then we did this really odd thing. We began to build a tower. At this time, all humanity spoke in one language. We knew one another. We could speak to one another. We were one body building this tower to heaven. We wanted to get to God. We thought we could be God. And God said, uh-uh, no way. And he sent upon us his spirit so that we all began to speak in different languages, and the unity that had been God's people became disunity because no one could understand one another with the multiple languages that were there. And slowly the people dispersed across the world as they knew it. And you'd have to read the rest of the Old Testament to know what happens next. But eventually God sent his son so that we could once again have God's vision that we know happens in the vision that happens in Revelation, that we are all one people again. So what happens here, this moment in Jerusalem? Well, Jesus has come. He's proclaimed the message. He has shown how he wants to bring salvation to the world. He's trying to reach out to those who are like him and those who are not like him, continually to bring into his community all of God's people. But not only do we have the ones who sneered at those who were speaking languages that others didn't understand, we had people who sneered at Jesus. And so they brought him to the cross and crucified him. And he died and rose again. He promised when he ascended into heaven that he would bring his spirit upon his disciples. So there they were. We finally caught up to today's reading. There they were in that upper room, all 120 of them gathered there while everybody had come into Jerusalem for Pentecost, for the celebration of the weeks, because this was a time after Passover, 50 days after Passover, they had this celebration in Jerusalem for the harvest. So everybody had gathered there from all over who were Jews to do that. So the city's full. All the hotels are full. The disciples are hanging out in the upper room waiting for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And maybe a little bit scared because they are the disciples of Jesus Christ. And it was only 50 days ago that he was crucified. And they're waiting. And then we hear Luke tells us so beautifully how the Spirit came upon all of them. Upon all. All of them. And then they began to proclaim the message of salvation to everyone. And it wasn't that they were speaking foreign languages, but whatever language was your native language, that's how you heard. That's how you heard what they were saying. That disunity that happened at Babel began to become unified the moment of Pentecost. When God's message of love was once again proclaimed to all from this one body who told the story about Jesus Christ. So then Peter stood up and addressed this crowd who were eager to hear this message now. And he brought out the prophet Joel's words about young men seeing visions, sons and daughters prophesying, and old men dreaming dreams. So I want us to stop for a moment and move much more forward to today. Today when we are wondering about not just the United Methodist Church, but God's church in general. What will it look like into the future? Are we having any dreams? Are we having any visions of what God may be doing in God's world? Are we listening to what God may be saying? Are we seeing what God may be showing us in the young people who worship, in those who aren't worshiping, the nuns and the duns and all those who wonder about what's happening inside the walls of churches, those who don't feel like they're part of the body anymore. They have dreams too. They have dreams and visions of what God's love looks like. My question for us is, when they look at us, do they see what God's love looks like? Do they? And if we can say yes, then let's continue to grow and flourish as God's loving vision and purpose here in this place. If not, we need to look at ourselves and say, where can we be more loving? What does God have to prune within us? But I also thought about the old men who dream dreams, and we're aging. We can't get around that piece, can we? That every year we get just a little bit older. And we all have dreams of what church looked like when we were younger. And there seemed to have been a vitality to church. There might not have been as many empty spaces in pews. We might have had Sunday schools overflowing and vacation Bible schools coming out filled with children running amok. But we wonder if we can dream that past into the future. Or maybe the vision of the future is something we can't see. And we need to listen to the prophetic voices that God has in the world today, saying what God's church will look like in the future. Because I want to tell you that what we don't hear is the rest of Peter's sermon. And it's a fairly long sermon as he begins to remind them of the story of God's love and what God did to draw people back to God, continually calling people back to God, leading people up so that they could lead, dropping people down who didn't need to lead anymore, that God was working in the world so that we could be followers of Jesus Christ, so that we could experience God's love, that the Spirit was working amongst the world and working today. And when he finished speaking, in verse 37, so you know how far you have to read. Now that they had heard this, they were cut out. They were cut to the heart. And Peter said, to Peter and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. Everyone to whom the Lord our God calls to him. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized. This is what I want you to hear. And that day about 3,000 persons were added. 3,000 persons were added. That was not by human power. That was by the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon the disciples, that proclaimed the message so that people could hear it in their own language, in their own context, right where they were. And if we were to turn to Revelation 21, the vision and the prophecy is that God wins, that love wins, and those who call upon the name of the Lord, regardless of who they are, will be saved and will be part of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Right here, God is present with us through the power of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. Think about that. Isn't that an amazing thought? That right here, Christ is with us. God is with us because we are gathered here. That each one of us have a little light within us, that is Christ, that is the Holy Spirit. My prayer is this community know God's love through our unconditional love of them. May we reach them right where they are. Use the language that is theirs. Use the terms that are there to share the message of salvation May we find ways to touch the lives that are out there that we would love to see and hear. But the first thing we have to do is meet them right where they are and let them know that they are loved. And the church will catch on fire. Figuratively, not literally. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whew, I almost said literally. Sorry, Lord.